Nemoto presents classical music giants. Gustav Mahler, the symphonist of the universe. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Christopher voice. Running time, approximately 8 minutes. On a spring day in May of 1911, a funeral procession wound its way through the streets of Vienna. Thousands lined the path, musicians, admirers, ordinary citizens, all come to bid farewell to Gustav Mahler. He had been one of the most celebrated conductors of his age and one of the most controversial composers. Some considered him a prophet, others a madman. His symphonies stretched to vast lengths, filled with marches, hymns, dances, children's songs, screams, and silences. They seemed to contain entire worlds, and in fact, Mahler once said, "A symphony must be like the world. It must contain everything." He died at 50, worn down by illness and grief, yet his music would outlive him, becoming the voice of the 20th century's anxieties and longings. Mahler was born in 1860 in the small town of Kalist in Bohemia, then part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. His parents were of modest means. His father kept a tavern, his mother struggled with frail health. Gustav was the second of 14 children, though many of his siblings died young. From this childhood of poverty and loss came both toughness and sorrow. He learned piano early, showing such ability that he was soon performing for neighbors and teachers. At 15, he was accepted into the Vienna Conservatory. There he absorbed the traditions of Beethoven, Wagner, and Bruckner, but always with his own restless intensity. As a conductor, Mahler rose rapidly. He had a gift for detail, for whipping orchestras into shape, for drawing out both discipline and passion. He was relentless, demanding long rehearsals, correcting the smallest errors, shaping every phrase. Musicians often feared him, but they also recognized his genius. He worked in Prague, Leipzig, Budapest, and Hamburg before finally reaching the pinnacle, the Vienna Court Opera in 1897. There he reformed productions, insisted on high standards, and transformed the company into one of the greatest in Europe. Later he also conducted in New York with the Metropolitan Opera and the Philharmonic. But conducting, for all its prestige, was not his deepest calling. It was in composing that Mahler poured his soul, though success came more slowly. His first symphony, premiered in 1889, confused audiences with its strange mixture of folk tunes, funeral marches, and bursts of lyricism. Yet it already showed his vision. Symphonies as journeys, filled with contradictions, reflecting life itself. His later symphonies expanded in scope, often requiring massive orchestras and choruses. Some lasted over an hour, even an hour and a half. They demanded patience, but rewarded listeners with experiences unlike anything else. The sweep of the cosmos, the whispers of the heart, the grotesque and the sublime side by side. Mahler's music often shocked contemporaries. In the Second Symphony, he combined funeral marches with heavenly choirs, ending with a vision of resurrection. In the third, he included everything from posthorn solos to children's choruses, stretching nearly 2 hours. In the fifth, he wrote the Adagietto, a tender movement for strings and harp that became a symbol of love, later used at Robert Kennedy's funeral. In the eighth, the Symphony of a Thousand, he summoned vast forces to sing of redemption. And in the ninth, his last completed symphony, he seemed to bid farewell to life itself, the final movement dissolving into silence. What makes Mahler unique is his mixture of opposites. He loved folk music and military marches, street songs and children's rhymes, but he also loved lofty philosophy and mystical visions. He once said, "The symphony is the world." That world included vulgarity and sublimity, laughter and tears. In his symphonies, a rustic dance can suddenly give way to a vision of eternity. A comic tune can twist into horror. A march can end in triumph or collapse. He mirrored life's contradictions, refusing to smooth them away. His personal life was full of tension. In 1902, he married Alma Schindler, a young, brilliant woman who had been courted by many artists. Their marriage was passionate but stormy. Mahler was domineering, demanding Alma give up her own composing to support him. Yet he adored her, and when their first daughter Maria died in 1907 of scarlet fever, he was devastated. Around the same time, he was forced to resign from the Vienna Opera after years of anti-Semitic attacks. Mahler had converted to Catholicism to secure the post, but prejudice never ceased. He was diagnosed with a heart condition, which shadowed his remaining years. Despite illness and grief, Mahler composed some of his greatest works in his final years. Das Lied von der Erde, The Song of the Earth, written after his daughter's death and his medical diagnosis, sets Chinese poetry in German translation, reflecting on beauty, sorrow, and the transience of life. It ends not with triumph but with a whisper, Ewig, Ewig, forever, forever. The Ninth Symphony followed with its aching farewell. He began a Tenth Symphony but left it incomplete at his death in 1911, sketches later pieced together by others. During his lifetime, Mahler's music was admired by some but ridiculed by many. Critics called it sprawling, self-indulgent, hysterical. Even his admirers sometimes struggled. But younger composers, especially Arnold Schönberg and his circle, revered him. And after the Second World War, Mahler's time truly came. His symphonies spoke to a century marked by war, loss, and existential doubt. Leonard Bernstein championed him passionately, conducting cycles that brought his music to new generations. Today, Mahler is central to the concert repertoire, his works performed and recorded around the world. As a man, Mahler was complex, neurotic, driven. He believed in discipline, yet often felt tormented by doubts. He sought transcendence, yet was haunted by death. He could be harsh and tender, aloof and vulnerable. His letters reveal both arrogance and despair. But through all of it ran a fierce need to make sense of existence through music. Listening to Mahler is an experience like no other. You may laugh, weep, feel overwhelmed, even exhausted. But you emerge changed as if you have lived another life. His music confronts you with mortality but also with beauty. It asks questions without giving easy answers. It is not background music, it demands your whole being. Mahler once said, "My time will come." He was right. In his lifetime, he was often misunderstood. But now, more than a century later, his symphonies speak to millions. They remind us that art can encompass the whole of life, that music can hold contradictions without resolving them, that through sound we can face despair and still find hope. Gustav Mahler, the tavern keeper's son who became a titan of the podium and of the symphony, left us works that contain the world. He remains a giant not because he resolved life's contradictions but because he embraced them, gave them voice, and transformed them into music that endures. Thank you for listening to this episode of Classical Giants.